Hi, everybody. This is Margaret Floyd Berry here with Eat Naked Kitchen, and I am today with a very special guest, another Margaret, Margaret Townsend. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, so happy to
So,
be here.
oh, I'm so
Yeah.
thrilled that you're here. And so, this is really special and a little different from things that we've done before. I met Margaret. I was actually gifted a session with Margaret. Margaret is a breath worker. And I was gifted a session with her, not this past Christmas, the Christmas before that. And I will
I
admit that,
forgot that it was a gift.
yes, it was a gift.
Okay.
And it took me several months to actually make the appointment, partly because I didn't really understand what it was, partly because I was just busy. But I was transformed in that first session. I was blown away. I'll be completely honest. I don't really know what happened. All I know, my experience was I walked into Margaret's space and I was super high strung, tightly wound in my head, go, 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 a little fried, emotionally frazzled, all of these things, which I can easily be. And I left her office, I don't know, an hour and a half later, just in my body. Grounded, peaceful, and just with this sense of calm. It was just absolutely profound to me just through working with breath. And I'm gonna have I have lots of questions for Margaret, but I want to share you go with you guys that this is not, you know, we kind of hear like, oh, breath work's important. And I know for me, I've kind of been like, yeah, breathe, got it. You know, do like my kind of little quick things here and there. But this was absolutely next level. And I've been working with Margaret ever since. And some of the things that I've personally experienced as a result of this work are, you know, absolutely learning how to bring myself more readily and regularly into that place of calm where I'm just like out of my busy, over-occupied brain and actually into my body and into my body in a way that feels peaceful and grounded. That's been a really big lesson. Another thing is that when I speak from stage, that's something that I have been working on. And historically, my breath would literally get like, you know, and I still get a little bit like that, but it's so much better. My voice is so much steadier. There would be times where I'd hear myself either in a video or, you know, something recorded after the fact, and I in my head felt like I sounded so strong, and then I would hear it, and my voice sounded all quivery in it. That was a result of not controlling my breath properly. In other pieces, I'm a runner, and breathing, of course, is really integral to running. And I've noticed that my breathing during running is getting so much stronger and more capable and more supportive during my run. So these are just, you know. This is after only a few sessions with Margaret, and I invited her here today because in this world of, you know, coronavirus madness right now, right? We're all amped up. We're inundated with things that will pop us into sympathetic mode instantly. And I know that I could use some grounding and some breathing resources. And so I invited Margaret here to share with us a little bit more about this technique and then to share with us some techniques, a little example of this work that we can do ourselves. So that's my preamble, Margaret. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking this time.
Yeah. Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, where would I rather be but here with all of us together, you know, sharing something that can support us all, you know? Yeah.
So, can you explain to us a little bit about the physiology? You know, I understand that breathing's important. I know that it helps shift us into parasympathetic mode. And I will admit that I'm still always a little mystified at what state I enter your office and then the transformation that happens by the time I leave your office. So, can you explain a little bit about the physiology behind all of this?
Yeah, well, it's such a great question because when we notice we're feeling stressed or we're feeling, like you said, kind of peaceful, that's all in relationship to the nervous system. So you know, breath is life, right? I mean, without it, we're not here.
Right.
So clearly it's life. And everything that we're experiencing in the moment, our breath is responding to. And the way we're breathing right now is affecting how we're experiencing the moment. So I know that sounds kind of like, what? You know, I'm saying the same thing, but, you know, just to your point about this time, you know, we all have tension patterns that we've built up in our lives. And in a time like this, in a crisis like this, it just will light up the I call it the yikes part of our nervous system, you know, that stress part of the nervous system. And I was noticing when I go out for a walk and people, you know, we're out walking and trying to stay 6 feet and you're on a path and how people are, I mean, we're all kind of pulling away, holding our breath as we pass each other by, that kind of thing, which is the wisdom of the nervous system. And this is why, because our respiratory system is tied in with the autonomic nervous system, the survival part of the brain. It's in the brainstem. And so it has everything to do with survival, protection responses to life. So those responses are part of the body's wisdom. I mean, it's great that when we're being careful, you know, we do something, we contract a little bit. When we really don't feel safe, it's bigger than not being careful, but really don't feel safe, we contract even more. Every time that any kind of contraction happens, we hold our breath, right? And so that's turning on the stress response right there. Now, my noticing of as we're out, you know, those moments, those little moments we're out in the world with each other, where we do that holding, my concern is that when we get back home or we get out where there's more air around us, there's not people around us, that we're not really letting go and allowing the freedom of our breath, the potential of that freedom to happen. And it makes sense to me because, like I said, you know, our breathing patterns are reflected in how we're being in life. For example, pushing through things. Like these are some ways, some character ways we're in life. I know you haven't. You
I have no experience with that. No. Tell me what that's like.
You know, pushing through, holding back, holding in, holding on to keep going. You know, all of that. I see that in people's breath pattern. One of the most common ones is before the exhale finishes, the inhale rushes in. So with people like that, I ask, I mean, I don't know anything about that, but when I ask people, do you feel like you don't have enough time or space in your life? You know, inevitably, it's always a yes answer, because that's what their system is doing. So the nervous system is reflecting, you know, what's happening, how we're seeing things, how we're thinking about things. So, you know, we have the two branches, the excitation branch, sympathetic, the relaxation branch, the parasympathetic, and how the breath connects with that is the inhale stimulates the excitation part of the nervous system. That's energy, right? You know, taking in energy. So we need that. That's awesome. And the exhale stimulates the rest and digest, the relaxation part, that letting go. Right? One breath cycle is both the inhale and the exhale. So that's one breath cycle. So depending on what's happening in that flow will dictate how we're feeling. So this is the little cycle I created. I should have a little, you know, map up here. But so we feel tension, right? And then we contract, we hold our breath. As soon as the nervous system registers there's not enough breath in the lungs, it turns on the stress response. Boom. The yikes, right? We don't have enough air. You know, there's life, there's something a little threatening about the moment. And there's total extremes on the continuum. huge shocks and, you know, in trauma and in shocking moments, without even thinking about it, we go, oh, that's what we do. But even when it's something really positive and beautiful, like a beautiful sunset, we go, oh, and then we go, ha, huh. We complete the cycle when it's something that feels good.
Right.
We can settle back down because, ah, but that's the difference. So the, huh, you know, there's big ones with big traumas, and then there's a lot of little ones with chronic tension that can get stuck, right? So when we're stuck, when the stress response turns on, this is what happens. Our breath rate increases, our heartbeat increases, our muscle tension increases because there's an imbalance of carbon dioxide and oxygen. It affects our immune system. Our digestion shuts down. You know, it affects our metabolism. It puts things on hold because we're tending to the emergency of the stress. This is how it registers in the nervous system. So what happens then, the stress turns on, then our thinking, it stimulates the fear thinking in our mind. So then our thinking becomes worried thoughts, repetitive fear thoughts, which I think a lot of people are in right now. I notice it. I can wake up with it. I can wake up in the middle of the night with it for so many reasons. You know, just all the life situations that this coronavirus situation is touching in us, right? So all those things turn on, then our thinking gets sped up, and then it increases muscle tension, and then our breath gets tighter, and then our nervous system gets in more stress mode. And so it's just this cycle. So here's the key, is to interrupt that in a, what I call, my wording in this is in a gentle, compassionate, kind way. We will always relax with acceptance and love, always, because that puts our nervous system in safety mode. Ah, this is safe. When we can really feel it and experience it, not trying to talk ourselves into it, but when we can really feel it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's allowing some way that we can help our system settle and bring comfort. So I remember a teacher when I was studying the Hakomi body-centered psychotherapy, and a teacher came in to teach us about trauma. And she said, you know, when we're stuck in stress mode, she calls it out of the window of tolerance. So all day long, we're going into sympathetic, parasympathetic, sympathetic. I mean, it's just what a nervous system does, what a human being does. When we get out of that window, when we're stuck and we can't find the settling place, I remember her saying, the priority becomes tend to your system. It's not the time to try to figure things out, to make a decision, to organize things, because that part of the brain, the frontal cortex, is offline. So we can't really make a decision. And, you know, this leads me back to why I do this work, because growing up, I was in constant panic and anxiety my whole childhood. So when I had to take a test in school, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't, as soon as I knew the timer went on and this is a test and you're either gonna pass or fail, my nervous system went into stress mode. I held my breath, I went into panic, and I couldn't even sometimes read the words on the page. And so I grew up thinking I was stupid because I couldn't take tests. And I also, you know, when you have to stand up in school and read out loud.
Oh yeah.
And that this, what we're doing right now, is like the last thing I ever wanted to do, is like to talk in front of people. But when I had to read out loud, I didn't have enough air to carry the words out. So we speak on the exhale. And that's one of the reasons why, going back to what you were saying, is why you kind of felt a difference in your voice. Because, right, the air carries the sound out, the you know, through the vocal cords. And I didn't have enough air to finish a sentence, so I'd always have to pretend I had a cough and go get a drink of water. You know, I'm sure the teachers figured out at some point, but what I needed was, as a kid, to have someone there saying, honey, I'm right here. You're okay. You know, the kinds of things that just settle our system. And so when I stumbled into doing the breath work, and I had my first breath session when I was living in New York City, and there was a moment that my identity unstuck to my fear, because I grew up thinking, I am my fear. You know, I'm a fearful person, and that's just who I am. And the only time that I ever felt free was dancing or doing sports when my body was moving. But when I had to be in school or in conversation, you know, it wasn't accessible. So my sense of self and my center wasn't accessible. So in that first breath session, there was a moment that it was like this, you know, kind of unsticking of my, oh, that's not who I am. I have anxiety, but that's not who I am. And that was a life-changing moment for me. And I could feel the part of me that was noticing who I am was the one that was noticing the anxiety.
Right.
It was just this big paradigm shift. So I spent the next 5 years on my own journey with the breath work with my teachers and just diving in until I, you know, in 93, I became certified to work with people.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's profound on so many levels, you know, the different things that you're talking about. I mean, first of all, this relationship of how our breath defines our physiology and also how our experience mm-hmm. defines in our breath. And it's this like, you know, these two things are constantly playing off of each other. You know, I have struggled with a lot of fears and anxiety myself, and that's one of the things, and I'm really starting to feel shift away by doing this work. It's interesting with my daughters. We are always teaching them to, you know, if they're having a moment, you know, either having a big tantrum or they're just really upset about something, you know, when they're able to breathe, you know, we're always consciously getting them to like to focus on their breaths, particularly the exhale. You know, I know my youngest, who's three and who loves being awake and resists bedtime pretty profoundly. That's one of my things I have noticed. If I can get her to breathe out,
yeah.
you know, fully out of her mouth, maybe six times, I can get her from hyperactive, all wound up, into actually ready for bed.
Mm.
If I can get her to yawn, and I learned this from you, if I can get her to yawn, she's out.
Right.
So,
awesome. Yeah.
It's really powerful. And the fact that this tool was so pivotal for you to recognize what is really you and what is this sort of story of you, right? And how those two pieces can be apart. I mean, it just shows the depth of this work. This isn't, you know, just another meditation. I'm not dismissing meditation, because that's actually is very, very profound, but it's not just sort of some other little like haphazard thing. Like this work is very, it shifts things. It feels like it shifts things mm-hmm. really like physiologically and emotionally and intellectually yes. all in the same time with something that is constantly available to us, which yes. is our breath.
Yeah.
It's profound.
Mm-hmm. From health to emotional, psychological to even spiritual. I mean, it's been used in spiritual practices for thousands of years. I saw, I read something about in China when, you know, Qigong and Chinese medicine was happening. And this was like BC, you know, 2000 BC or something like that, and in Taoism and in India with Ayurvedic work. It's through all those practices for health, but then also for spiritual connection to expand consciousness, because it can, you know. Breath is the formless in this form. And that one experience that I had for my first breath session, a little while after that, I was at a meditation retreat, and I had this memory that I had totally forgotten about when I was in grade school. There was this one moment where I remember, I don't want to remember what happened in my bedroom, but I was running down the hall to my mom, who was in the kitchen, you know, cooking fried chicken. And I was having this awareness. I'm like, Mom, this isn't me. Like, I'm not this. I'm seeing through these eyes. Like, I'm inside the, you know,
right? Like,
one of those moments of like, oh. And so then I could connect the dots with how the breath can really be, bring us back to remembering. You know, it's not really about learning anything new. It's about remembering, you know, what our birthright is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the freedom.
It is.
Freedom, yeah, the potential.
So I'm wondering, could you share with us a little example so we can have a taste of what this is, of what this is like?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. So, you know, one of the things I love about doing breath work is that it also is a way to take us out of our heads and bring us into the body. And I think mindfulness, it is a mindful practice, at least in the way I work with it. And so if you, Margaret, and anyone watching this, just take a moment, turn your attention towards yourself, whether that's closing your eyes or keeping them open and looking down a little bit, or whatever's comfortable, whatever feels right. But just first of all, just notice, what's it like to take a moment and turn your attention towards yourself right now? And I'm going to guide you through this a little bit, but just notice how that is. Like, this is a moment just for you, okay? And as you're sitting there, just notice all the places your body is being supported right now. Like, what are the solid places that's supporting your body right now? Is it the floor? Can you feel the floor with your feet? Maybe the seat of the chair that your seat is in. Maybe the back of your chair. And all these places that are touching your body, just notice, oh, you don't have to hold those muscles up. Yeah, that you actually are being held right now by those spots. Yeah. And then go ahead and just take your attention now inside and just go find your breath. Just go find the movement of your breath. And I can promise you it's there somewhere. It might be really, really small, but it's there. So just find where that is, as if you're just going in and saying hi to this place, this movement of life within you that's happening right now. Just say hi to life that's living you right now, just by finding that movement. Yeah, might be high in your chest, it might be low in your belly or someplace in the middle. You might just feel the air flowing through your nostrils. Whatever it is, just take a moment and feel that. Yeah. And so just for the sake of this exercise, Margaret, I want to ask you, like, what are you noticing right now? Like, what do you, where do you feel the movement of your breath right now?
I actually feel it mostly in my throat. I'm noticing my throat is pretty tense.
Yeah, okay.
And I go from taking more shallow breaths, and then every few breaths, my body wants to take this big kind of like.
Yeah. Right. So there's your body's wisdom showing up right there. Mm-hmm. You turn towards it. There's a tension that shows up. And then there's a response to that tension, like, oh, every now and then I want to take a deeper breath. So that, just let that happen. But go ahead also and just put your hand on that tight spot, whether it's your throat or anyone else that's doing this. Just let your hand just gently contact that tight spot. And just notice what it's like to just feel the temperature of your hand and the light pressure of your hand. Just how it's contacting that tension. It's inside there. So let the two meet and come together. And it might be comforting. It might be uncomfortable. It could be neutral. And whatever it is okay. But as you feel that, now imagine, keep your hand there, and imagine your breath, the flow of your breath is like a little brook of water, flowing brook of water. And let your breath just flow to that tight spot. Just gently flow to that tight spot. Yeah. And what's that? Is that... Are you able to do that, Margaret, so far? Just
yeah.
Just let it find its way there. Nothing has to happen. But see what it's like to let this just gentle flowing movement come in contact to that tight spot. And also just give it a little space. Just giving it a little space. Yeah, and just noticing, just doing, yeah, just a mindful noticing experiment right now. Yeah. And what's it like now? What's it feel like?
Totally melting away. It's really interesting, all the tension. At first, when I first put my hand up, I felt almost like I was choking.
Yeah.
But literally, I can feel all that tension completely melting away now.
Yeah, beautiful. So we're going to just take that into one more thing, to actually now actively using your breath a little bit more. So let your hand just slide down to your chest, to the center of your chest, like under your collarbone, right there. Yeah. And now just feel that. Again, feel the temperature of your hand and the light pressure of your hand. And just let yourself notice what that feels like. Is it comforting, uncomfortable, or just kind of neutral? Like, what do you notice, Margaret, as you?
It feels really comforting. I'm just noticing how just these simple things are just calming the entire system.
Yeah. Right. And so when your body registers a comforting feeling with your hand on it, like soothing touch, what it does is it turns on the caregiving part of the brain. Right. This is what they teach in the mindful self-compassion work. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep the hand there and let that just keep happening. And now we're going to come to the breath, and you're going to take a comfortable inhale through your nose. And now on the exhale, soften your jaw and just do like a sigh of relief. A little bit of the voice at first, and then it just falls out like a little waterfall, gentle waterfall. Yeah, and then take your time, wait for the inhale to come on its own. When it comes, take it and then let it fall. Take your time to inhale. Yeah. You don't have to take a really big, deep inhale. As a matter of fact, I suggest just make it comfortable. Can you feel your chest ribs under your hand kind of softening downward with the air as the air falls out? That's the feeling. Keep going. That's the feeling of your lungs emptying. And as you continue to do this, just keep letting the exhale have a little more space, a little more time. There's enough time to let it land and settle. And receive as you inhale. And it just falls deeper into your body. And now as you inhale, just let your ribs receive. Taking your time, let it come when it comes. Let your belly receive if you can. Just soft, everything soft. No pushing, no rushing. We're just gonna do three more. That's right. And just allowing yourself to receive the inhale and allow the exhale. Yeah. Again, letting the body soften with allowing. Last one. And now just let the exhale land and just rest. And you can relax your hand down. And just feel what you feel. See if you can just let your belly soften a little bit more. Let your rib cage be soft. And as you just let the breath flow in and out, just letting yourself receive life in this way, in this moment. And when you're ready, just go ahead and let your eyes open. And see if you can just keep feeling what you're feeling, even with your eyes open now and with the focus on the outer world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you feel?
I feel this beautiful combination of really calm and peaceful and like grounded in my body, but also very like light and free. Yeah. Like I could feel myself, I wasn't even aware of all the tension. Thought I was right. Relaxed when we first started talking, and then when I went in, it was like lots of tension, and then things melted away, and now there's just this like lightness, which feels really delicious.
Yeah, nice. So your nervous system got to balance. You know, the breathing muscles, when the breathing muscles soften, they get to work all together, chest, ribs, belly, neck. They get to work all together, and there's a sense of flow. The diaphragm is the main muscle. When it flows freely, your organs are getting massaged. You're connecting with all parts of your brain. Mm-hmm. And there is a lightness because the tension just gets to kind of fall away. So,
thank you so much, Margaret. That's beautiful. And oh gosh, it's such a wonderful, I mean, simple, but so, so powerful. Now, what I'd love to end with is, how can people get in touch with you if they want to book? Because you do these sessions virtually with people all over the world. So tell us how people.
I do,
and book links and all that.
Yeah, and just to like finish this link of, you know, this would be a first part of a session, and then I would guide people. I'd actually have people lie down and guide people into a gentle, connected flow of breathing as I guide them through. Yeah, so that would be like a kind of part of a full session, and then we debrief after. So my email is margaret@thelivingbreath. I have a website. I'm in the process of making a new one. But the website, the old one is still online. So it's thelivingbreath.com. And I am here to be of service and be a support any way I can, because we need each other right now, right? I'm getting it myself, and I really want to be available.
Thank you so much. Such a gift. Such a gift to have you here with us today. Thank you so much, Margaret.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for your generosity. Okay.